Hi, I'm Paulina.
Hi, I'm Bricia.
And we're sisters, friends, daughters, wives, and business owners.
And we're just following our dreams, you know, working to be a better version of ourselves every day. All right. And we're also moms.
Welcome to the Super Mama Sisterhood.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, Super Mamas.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Super Mamas podcast, your favorite podcast.
Sisterhood. Welcome to Super Mama Sisterhood. Welcome, sisters.
Welcome, everybody. This is your host, one of your hosts, Paulina. And I am Bricia's sister. I am a mom of three little girls and a dog.
Ay, tú, sí, muy aquí, ya tengo perro.
Right now, they're all sleeping. They all have their bedtimes. I'm a very proud mom. Anyway, welcome, guys.
It's like midnight. I'm so proud.
I'm so proud they just fell asleep. Anyway, who are you?
I'm also your sister, actually. Oh. I'm also the host of the show. I have still 6-month-old baby and a 5-year-old boy who I love and adore so much. And I'm just living. And this weekend, I have a question for you, Paulina. Mm-hmm. Well, aside from following us on Instagram @_supermamas and subscribing to the podcast and visiting supermamas.com, and all that good stuff. Paulina, how many times do you cry a week?
Like today, I cried once. Just today, I cried once.
At what point of the day did you cry?
I cried today when I was, Krista told me that she was done with school. And so I was like, okay, can I check your grades or whatever? And then I went over and I realized that the past 2 weeks he hasn't done any work, and so I got really frustrated again. I was like, I just don't, you know, like, what are you gonna do? And I started getting really upset at her. And then after I took away everything from her and I came in the room and I sat down with her to have a talk, you know. Mm-hmm. And then I was telling her how I felt, and I was like, and I was crying to her, you know, like making her understand. And she was like, okay, mom, you know, she was like, and I was crying. We were both crying. I was like, you don't understand how hard it is. I'm like, this is really hard for me, Krista. I am trying to keep it together. You know, I'm trying to keep everything together. And like, you know, I think you're doing the homework and then your room's dirty and then this, and like, you're lying to me. And, she, and you know, that was today and it's Monday. So yeah. Last week I also cried. I told my husband that I was like, I am done. And oh yeah, I told my girls the other day, I'm leaving and I'm never coming back. So that's just like this past week.
That's just in the past 4 days.
That's in the past 4 days. Did you have your first cry?
Yeah. I think I'm still kind of like, when I woke up, like the day hadn't even started.
You had a really rough weekend. Tell us what happened, please.
Oh my God. Everything started off great. Actually, no, it did not. Friday night, my husband threw up. And I was very shocked because I've never heard him thrown up ever. Like, we've been together for almost 10 years and he's never thrown up in front of me.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and he was in the restroom for large periods of time. And I was like, what's going on? Like, and my husband right now, he's been vegan since January.
Yeah.
Or should I say plant-based since January 1st. It's funny. My friend called me. I was like, why do you say plant-based and not vegan? I'm like, I don't know. It sounds fancier. I don't know what he ate. I honestly don't know what he ate, but he had major food poisoning. Saturday, oh my gosh, like he couldn't even put down water. Like it was like, I'm sure we've all been there, right? To when when he woke up, I gave him like a little shake because I thought, I was like, okay, great. Maybe you threw it all up. There's nothing else left in your system. Here's a shake just so you can get back to life. The shake didn't even last in his stomach for like 5 minutes.
Oh my God.
Then I gave him some coconut water, maybe like, I was like, maybe some banana just to kind of help you.
Yeah.
10 minutes gone. Water gone. Like, and he just, I'm like, just go in Eduardo's room, our son's room. And he stayed in the room all day. And I would just hear him going to the restroom and throwing up. You know, and I was just so scared because I don't, you know, that's like really dangerous when you throw up and from both sides.
Yeah, all, no.
You know, for like 24 hours. So my husband's not with Kaiser. And he was like out of it. And he's not very familiar with his insurance situation. So I had to figure out, like, I mean, I have Kaiser, so it's kind of like all in one place.
It's so easy, right? I love that's like, why I love Kaiser. That's exactly the reason why I chose Kaiser to begin with, because I didn't understand the whole system. Well,
thank you, sister, because you're the one who chose Kaiser. Otherwise, I wouldn't know what to do. So, like, in Kaiser, it's kind of like a one-stop shop. Like, you call a number, you call a number, and like, that's it. What do you need? Here it is. And that one, I had to figure out like where the virtual doctor is and the clinic is. And anyway, so I figured it out. The virtual doctor gave him a prescription. I had to get medicine, got the medicine back. Because the doctor said, okay, we got to stop the throwing up.
Yeah.
He got us like anti-throw up medicine. Within the 2 hours, he was throwing up again. So obviously the medicine didn't work. So I had to figure out a clinic to take him to, which was already scary because, you know, COVID. So, but he finally said, okay, agreed. And we got to the clinic. They gave him some medicine through IV. He got a COVID test too, just to make sure everything was fine. And that whole night, you know, I mean, he slept a little bit better. But Sunday, he was also like out all day. You know, he had, I called this service. It comes to your house and gives you an IV with vitamins. And so he got like B12, and they actually had like a food poisoning drip.
Really?
So, yeah. So he got like a food poisoning cocktail drip for his system. So that helped him. But, you know, all Saturday, all Sunday, it was basically me with my, you know, 6-month-old and my 5-year-old and a sick husband.
God, that's the worst.
And it was just not like, and I had to clean the house, you know, and I had to do laundry that hasn't been done for a week. So I had to do laundry, wash all this. I mean, I'm sure like these are things that all moms go through that are listening. Like, yep, that's what, that's my weekend, you know, but it's like, I had to wash the sheets for my bed, Eduardo's bed, all the towels, all our clothes, because we don't do laundry during the week. It's all like kind of piled up, which now it's not. Like now I know we're going to do like laundry.
Little by little, right? That's what I was telling you.
And, you know, just cleaning. Los quehaceres.
Cleaning and then cleaning after your husband, I'm sure. Like, you know, like he's like, he wants water, I mean, like, he wants this. Like you got to check on him, check, you know.
And then the kids are the kids. And, you know, a 5-year-old that, you know, has his own will and doesn't really have the ability right now to understand what no means and what yes means and go to sleep and go to your bed, please. So, I mean, you know, Sunday, like evening, like I was just like, hasta aquí. Like, I just, I couldn't anymore. So then I woke up Monday morning and I was asking my son to go brush his teeth and, you know, start his day. And he just was like, but like, why? And like, I don't want to. And I already did my teeth and he, you know, he didn't really brush his teeth. And I just started to cry. Cause I was just like, I don't want to scream. I told him, I started crying. I was just like, what's wrong? I was like, I just don't want to scream. Like, I don't want to yell at my kid.
Yeah.
And so all I can do is cry.
Yeah.
What else is there left for me to do? Like, I don't want to yell at him. I don't want to scream at him. I don't want to like nag at him all day about doing things. So like, I feel helpless.
Yeah.
And I just started to cry and it was like 7:30 in the morning.
I mean, I'm sure it was like all that you were carrying around the whole weekend, you know, just you needed to let it out. But
I don't know.
It's hard. It is hard. It is when there's someone sick or you're sick. And the kids, they don't know. They're just kids, right? And Eddie is so close to his dad that he's like, I want to be with daddy. And you're like, you can't be with daddy, you know? And daddy's like, no, right now. And he's like, well, why? Like, they don't understand what it means to feel sick.
And then mom and dad kept calling. Every time I was on the phone with the doctor, like, they kept calling me. And I'm like, number one, who told you my husband was sick? You know, I just don't want to tell him because I don't want to bother them. Like, he's fine, you know? So they would call me my dad called me three times I was with the doctor. And I'm like, I can talk to you right now. I'm trying to figure out with the doctor. I'm like tending to this kid. My husband's fine. And like texting me, you should do this. You should do that. Like, you know what you should do? You should come over and help me.
Oh my God. I know. And then they were worried. But I mean, it's just like, well, the vomiting, you know, on both ends.
Obviously,
it's like horrible. And it just makes you feel like so miserable because everything hurts inside of you. And it's just like, it's too much.
I know. I felt so bad. And I was like, what do I do? Because I'm like, I don't know what to do. You know, like, I'm like, am I a good wife? Should I have the answers to this? Like, shouldn't I have like un botiquín, you know, de cosas? Like, okay. Like food poisoning, here, take this magic. You know, like, I don't know. So I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. We have health insurance. We should call a doctor. Like, that makes sense.
Well, I mean, I'm glad he went to the doctor, but I'm also like, damn, he felt really bad to say yes to go to the doctor. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh my God, that's how bad he was. Well, I'm glad he's feeling better. And
today,
are you feeling better after your cry?
Yeah, maybe. I mean,
we'll see tomorrow.
Oh no, but also I think also what it was also last night, my daughter decided to not sleep.
Oh, everything just happened.
And she always sleeps. You know, she's like great. But like last night, nope. She just didn't want to sleep. She just wanted to be next to me in my boob all night. And I'm like, girl, like go like here, go back to your bed. Since I put her down, she started to cry. I'm like, just stay here. Ya casi se me cae de la cama. I was like, the fall. But she's like close to 7 months, you know, like she's fine to be here in bed with me.
Yeah.
Like,
kids always slept with me. My kids always slept in my booth because I was like, that's the only way I'm going to get to sleep. So,
yeah, I know. My kids never did. No, my kids are always been great at just sleeping on their own, like, but not last night. Last night, she just wanted to like be next to me. And I'm like, great. So I didn't sleep. I had that weekend. So my kid woke up, didn't want to listen to me, and I just started to cry.
Yeah. That happens a lot.
If you're listening, how many times do you cry a week?
Or if you're listening and you think I want to cry, just cry. It'll help you.
Or if you're listening and you cannot relate, also let me know what you're doing right.
For real. Help me out here.
Mira, if you're listening,
my sweater is all wet because I just finished doing the dishes. Because I'm like, I don't want to have my kitchen dirty tomorrow morning because then I'll go crazy. You know, it's like,
oh my gosh, you know what? Friday night, that's what I did. So Friday night, because my husband went to bed early because he was kind of sick, and my daughter fell asleep, Eduardo fell asleep. Like, you know, I was like, oh yay! Like I'm here by myself. What do I do? I'm like, I should just clean. So I cleaned. Which was the best decision because on Saturday morning,
it was clean.
Well, Saturday, it was clean. And when I tell you I cleaned,
you clean.
I mean, like, I clean. Like, I clean the stufa. Like, I clean, like, mom style. Like, I went to bed at 11:30 cleaning. Yeah, that's all I did. I just cleaned. But I was cleaning and I had my headphones on. And I was watching Mariposa del Barrio, like the Jenny Rivera on Netflix. like on my phone while I was cleaning, and it was like the best. I was like, this is actually not that bad to like clean and watch a Netflix show.
You know what? Hashtag get sad, because let me tell you what I was doing on Friday night. I literally went grocery shopping. I told my husband, let me go. Please let me go grocery shopping. So I went and I was like over there, like Ralph dancing, you know, with the soundtrack. Then I was on my way back and I was like, I know, I don't want to go back. So I went, I stopped by McDonald's. I grabbed an order of fries and I parked somewhere in my car and I was listening to music. And I even got on a live with the Super Mamas for like a little bit, just like listening to music. Cause I was like, why haven't I done this before? Hashtag Kesab. That's our Friday nights. You're watching Mariposa de Barrio. I'm in my car eating fries, listening to music.
I don't know, man. At least you were eating fries.
No, because I was like,
there's like no food in my house. There was like no food.
I had the groceries in the back of my car because there was no food in my house.
my pies arrived Friday night. Otherwise, I would be like on Saturday morning. Sorry, my pies arrived Saturday morning. Otherwise, Friday night, I would have just been eating my pie. Watching Mariposa del Barrio and cleaning at the same time. But that Netflix show, though, like, I'm telling you, it's not winning any awards, okay? It's not no Luis Miguel la serie. It's not, like, you know, the best, but it's intense. It's got very triggering scenes. Like, if you grew up with, like, abuse, or if you know someone who's been verbally and physically abused, like, it's definitely very triggering. Like, there's this one guy, like this one character that you just want to go inside like the TV
and beat him up.
And yeah, I mean, or more than just beat him up.
Oh my God. While I was planning my Valentine's in the car while I was listening to you say
Valentine's.
This is what we're going to do. We're going to park my truck in the backyard. Mm-hmm. And we're going to get inside the popular vote from one of the Super Mamas on the live was like, you need to have a Titanic moment in there. And then we were like talking about a playlist that we were gonna do, and so like people have been sending me songs to add to my playlist. That was my Friday night. That was fun. And talking about that, this is actually our Valentine's week special.
That's right. You had that interview. Okay, I'm listening to the show because I was not able to interview Samara. So I am so excited to listen to the show. Tell me about what you guys spoke about. We had a busy week last week at the warehouse. So
yeah,
Fernando and I were packaging moles.
Well, Samara has been one of our most famous episode, but like one of our, remember the first episode we had with her, it was such a hit. So we wanted to bring her back. And, I was talking to her about what she's seen right now that the pandemic is happening and like what's going on with couples, what's happening, you know, what she's a marriage therapist. So, we were talking about what are the kind of challenges that couples are going through and the disconnection that is happening in marriages and relationships, because people are just so stressed. I mean, we're just talking about this. People are just so stressed and everything that she has seen a lot of people kind of like, you know, disconnect. So we talked about finding ways to reconnect with your husband and how to make this weekend and every weekend after intentional to spend time with your significant others. We also talked about a lot of spicy stuff. You know, she gave us a lot of tips, you know, Samara's amazing with that. And yeah, that's what we talked about, Valentine's.
Well, I cannot wait to hear this interview. And just a little bit about Samara, so you know, she is a licensed clinical social worker who has been in private practice as a psychotherapist in Beverly Hills for the past 20 years. She specializes in working with clients suffering from anxiety, as well as specialization in relationship and couples therapy. She also works with a variety of sexual issues, including those related to dating and sexuality in the course of long-term relationships. She has been married to her husband for 26 years and has two grown children. which one we had on the show a while ago. So we will link that episode. Zach. That was a really great episode with Zach.
Such a great episode.
So without further ado, here is our episode with...
with clinical social worker, Samara Fabri. Welcome to the show, Samara. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. Thank you. It's nice to be back.
I am so excited about this episode. I've been looking forward to it for a while because I think we are in the time where we need to start looking into our relationships already. Again. Yeah. And, you know, the first episode that we had with you was such a hit, I should tell you. It was amazing. Everybody loved it. So I am super excited to have you back. But for those of for those listeners that don't know who you are, can you please introduce yourself? Tell us who you are, what you do, who you've been quarantining with, and how has it been so far?
Okay, so my name is Samara Fabric. I'm a licensed clinical social worker. I have a private practice in Beverly Hills. I've been in this office for 20 years. I work mostly with couples and anxiety, love what I do. I have been quarantining with my husband of 26 years and my 18-year-old son, who is over it. And for a while, yes, my 22-year-old Zachary, Zach was on with me the last time I was on your podcast. He was in college. He was home and graduated from college from our living room couch. And now he's at graduate school. He's getting a doctorate in psychology at the Wright Institute in Berkeley.
Amazing. Hello to him. We love Zach. He is so fun.
So please send his love to you too.
Thank you. So we wanted to have you back. Well, first of all, because this is going to be our Valentine's special episode, but also because we have noticed, we have been asking our guests lately, how's it going at home with the relationships? And time again, we have seen this repetition of, well, you know, his life hasn't changed and my life has completely turned around. So it happened in my house. It happened in Bruce's house too. And sometimes what I notice is that we tend to be a little bit grudgy towards our significant others, because in my case, my husband's life has not changed, right? But then I am a totally different person now. I took over everything at the house. And sometimes I do feel like, that's not fair. You know, you're over there living life and he's not living life. He's working, but you know what I mean? Like, he gets to go out and outside of the house. I mean, and so have you seen that pattern with your clients?
Somewhat. I mean, I'm sitting here in my office in Beverly Hills. I leave the house every day. My husband works from home. Here's what I see. I think that the people who have little kids, which I know that you do, it's been much more impactful, because now you're your kid's teacher, their best friend, their playmate, their, you know.
And worst enemy at the same time.
And worst enemy, their private chef, right, their entertainment director. So I think that the people that have little kids are definitely more impacted. And I think that generally one person, often the mom, or the person that has more flexible schedule, takes on more of the brunt. And I think whenever there is a disparity in, you know, workload, there's always resentment and hostility. I call it sweat equity, which is kind of a business term, but I say in couples, there has to be sweat equity. You have to be sweating equally. You may not be doing the same stuff, but you need to be sweating equally. And I feel like the people that are kind of stuck at home and are, you know, schooling their kids and doing all that stuff are sweating more so than the person who gets to go to work. Not that the person who went to work isn't sweating, but
No. I think it's just perspective, right? Because I know he's like doing a lot, but I'm like, I'm doing more than you. aside from that, with people that are that have small kids like myself and my sister, what are the most common problems that you have seen between couples during quarantine? Like, what are we experiencing out there? What have we seen? I remember at the beginning of the pandemic, I read an article about when they locked down China, and then they, you know, everybody went out, like the rate of divorce went up so much because people were, you know, it was like, again, a really hostile environment being locked down with your significant other. I know that there's a lot of people that are also spending a lot of time together. They're both working from home. So what are the other types of issues that you have seen?
Oh, girl. Okay.
how much time do we have?
Okay. So I think there's a couple different buckets in no particular order. I don't do anything in order. I think that one of the things that I'm seeing is, and this is probably one of the hardest things to deal with, is that the pandemic is bringing out already existing issues because number one, because people are together more. So they're in each other's faces more. It's part of the reason I come to my office is because I like having that space and then being able to go home and it feels better than, you know, being on your foot with my husband all day long. But I think people are the every couple generally has about three what I call perpetual conflicts, which is the stuff that when you're fighting about over and over and over again. And I think what the pandemic has done, because of the proximity space-wise and because of really the fear and the anxiety that this pandemic has created in so many people, that the issues that normally come out every once in a while are really in the forefront of a lot of couples. So couples are fighting more and it's really intense. And whereas before you'd go to work and you wouldn't deal with it until the weekend, people are in each other's faces. So it's bringing out kind of the really gnarly issues in relationships. I think one of the other things that's happening is that, I don't know about you, but I think this is really not sexy. There's no, like, I think eroticism has kind of died for most couples, particularly couples that have been together for a while. There's some newbies, which is a whole other thing I'll tell you about in a second, but I think for those of us that are in longer term relationships, eroticism is really about novelty and dopamine rushes and differences and vacations and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And there's just nothing sexy and nothing erotic about this pandemic. You know, it's like Groundhog Day all over again, right? I mean, how many, like, you know, it was fun in the beginning. Oh, I get to stay home and watch Netflix. And now it's like, you know, that's all we're doing and it's boring. So I think, and then also with the sexy, you know, the kids are around all the time. So, you know, I think a lot of couples would make love when their kids were on a sleepover or sleeping at grandma's house or, you know, even at school. And there's just not a lot of privacy, you know. I mean, a lot of my couples live in houses, but they're small houses or they share a wall with their kid. And it's hard to be intimate and all that stuff with the kids right there. Nothing less sexy than a kid. So I think it's really affected the eroticism that people have.
Yeah.
Also, just the pandemic itself, I think there's a lot of couples that have really different perspectives on what's safe and what they're comfortable with.
Definitely. I feel like, well, first of all, I want to say that makes me feel a little better that you're saying that, because even if you, which you set this goal for us, that you set the bar for us back when you came back, well, when you came here last time, are seeing that I'm like, okay, so we're not like, you know, but it is completely true. I feel that there is just so much anxiety, so much happening that you start leaving the connection between you and your husband. I think like at the beginning of the pandemic, I had a conversation with my husband about safety. And I said, all I want from you right now is, like, I need to feel safe. I feel that everything, like the rug was taken under my feet, and I need to feel safe. And that's what I asked from him. And he has stepped up and given me that safety that I needed. But I think it's more of present. It's more of like, you know, we're going to be okay. Then before, the connection has become more of like a safety connection, then like, you know, let's be sexy and let's, you know, let's have fun. We used to, you know, go away on weekends and or things like that. We haven't been. We only went away for our anniversary. And that was also not fun because there were so many restrictions that we were like, oh my God, you know, what are we going to do? But, it has definitely affected a lot of that. I've seen that again and again with friends, with, you know, listeners that you say, you know, I just don't feel like it. So what do we do now? Like, what do we do? I know that people keep saying we are at the end of the pandemic, but you know, I've been hearing that since summer. So, I mean, I've been hearing that since like March. So I'm not sure if Never we're over. Yeah, I'm Never not sure. It was 3 weeks. It was 3 weeks. It was going to be 3 weeks. And it's been like a year later. So yeah. I just feel like, you know, we cannot wait to say, well, once this is over, like, how do we get our groove back with our husbands, with our significant others, husbands, whatever, or partners, significant others? How do we do that? Help us, please.
Well, it's a great question. I mean, I can, you know, part of it is making sure that you are taking care of yourself and that you're doing, you know, self-care. It's funny. I think some people have gotten really good at self-care during this pandemic and some people have just kind of thrown it out the window, particularly if you have little kids at home. I think it makes it, you know, particularly harder. But so I think some of it is just making sure that you feel good about yourself and checking in with yourself at first, and that you're loving yourself. I think the second piece is trying to find something that feels novel, right? Mm-hmm. So I tell people, like, go if you can. Depends if you have a, you know, someone that can watch your kids or how old your kids are, but, you know, go park your car somewhere at night and fool around in your car.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah, it's fun. Go take a drive. We live in LA. Go take a drive up the coast. My husband and I did that the other week and last weekend. And we just drove up the coast and we saw dolphins and it was really pretty. And, you know, it wasn't necessarily, you know, sexually intimate, but it was just really nice. And it was like, oh, this is why we live here. And it's so pretty. And I forget. And, you know, so it's trying to find some of the novelty that we used to go on vacations and shows and concerts and dinners and all that stuff. You know, have a picnic in your backyard, go have a picnic. I mean, we lived in this beautiful weather at a park, you know, the stuff that we were kind of doing in the beginning. And then I think we got very complacent. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really thinking about like what would feel special, what would feel lovely. You know, even if you have little kids, you can go to your backyard and bring a monitor. I mean, it doesn't have to be. So anything that just feels a little bit different, maybe read a book together, you know, whether you read it at the same time or you're both reading the same book so you can have a conversation about that. I think that's a nice thing to do. Just trying to do things that are different. I think, you know, I in the past, I would have said watch a show together, but that's all we're doing. And I think that that's yeah. part of our complacency, right?
There's only so many Netflix. There's only like not anymore. It's like Netflix and chill is just like, nah, I don't want to do that anymore. It's just been too much. We've watched just way too many.
Well, it's just gotten very mundane, you know?
I think, you know, one of the things that my husband and I started doing is we used to like, you know, a while ago, we used to, you know, go to like a sex shop together. Now that we can't, we have, decided that like I tell them, well, you can buy some things online for me and then, you know, it'll be like surprise, you got a package in the mail. And it's this whole situation, right? So that's one of the things that we've been doing. But I also feel that I think everybody's just so exhausted. Everybody is just like tired, you know. I'm tired by like 8-9 PM. I am just super tired and he's tired. And I've noticed that, you know, even we were talking about it on the last show that one of my picks was like gloves for my feet and we're both wearing gloves for our feet together. And I'm like, you know, and my sister mentioned that she was like, I cannot imagine you two. I was like, you know what? Like that is very anti-sexy. Like we are like wearing foot gloves together. That's where we're at right now in the pandemic, you know, and it before, I think it would be something like I would do on my own and he would do on his own. But then together we were like doing something fun. But now I feel like I'm 80 years old, you know, putting, you know, gloves on my feet together. So it's just been a learning curve. And that's why I was like, we need to get Tamara on the show because she needs to light our fire again. And you know, you need to like bring some sense into us girls, because sometimes I feel that we're like, I'm too tired. You know, that's like one of the, I'm not going to say excuse because we are tired, but I think we should make a little effort.
Well, that's exactly the point. I think you nailed it, which is that it takes more effort because we're starting from a standing position. You know, remember bodies in motion, stay in motion, and bodies at rest, stay at rest. We're all at rest. Yeah. You know, even for those of us that are working, we're still at rest. We're not grooving. We're not, you know, our energies, we're not moving. And so I think it's important to make a plan. I mean, generally, and I said this on, you know, on the other shows that I was on with you, I'm a big believer in making a date to have sex. I think it, particularly for women, it's a great, you know, foreplay to think about it and what it's going to feel like and all that kind of, you know, and it's a good place to start. And I think that if you want to be intimate and you're having trouble making it happen, just put it on the calendar. You know, right? That, you know, you put the kids down, they're asleep, blah, blah, blah. You lock the door, and that, you know, it's what mommies and daddies do. And, you know, and you're not going to destroy your children if, you know, God forbid they hear a little groaning from next door.
They'll have plenty of questions the next day, but, you know.
I do think that it needs to be that you need to make an effort to
intentional.
Intentional.
It has to be intentional. No, for sure. I think we have this idea that if we put it on the calendar, it feels like a chore, like a to-do, like it's a to-do. And we need to just realize that it's like making time for ourselves, right? Like we have to make time for ourselves. We have to make time for our partners. Someone posted the other day about even when we're together, having time apart as a couple. Right? How, like, it's not about like you're at work and I'm here, but even when we're at home, I've seen some people say, well, you know, even we're in the same bed, we have a pillow in the middle. I have an iPad. He has an iPad. He's watching something. I'm watching something. And it just like gives us space. And, you know, there was a lot of comments because they were saying that, you know, a lot of people don't do that. Like a lot of couples don't have time for themselves, like individual time for themselves. Can you talk a little bit about how important that is to also give yourself and your husband time for themselves?
Beyond. I am not a big fan, though, of putting a barrier in bed and then both being on devices. I do think that part of what has led to our complacency is our dependence on our devices and iPads and phones and all that kind of stuff. You know, I'm kind of a believer, not that I always do it, but I'm a believer in, you know, kind of putting down the devices and not bringing them to bed. I just think that's a really bad habit. And I think it creates, a kind of space that isn't necessarily positive. But I do think giving your partner time for themselves is important in whatever way. You know, for me, it's like my exercise is really important. And that's how I've kept my mental health somewhat maintained during this is, sure. You know, is exercise. And as, you know, as my husband has too. And so we make sure that we give each other time to do that. It's not something we do together. We do different things. And that's important. I think part of what keeps eroticism alive in marriage is separateness. I think what, you know, you need to be your own person and your partner needs to be their own person. And then when you come together, you know, as a Venn diagram, then that's where the juicy is. That's where the spicy is. If you're one person and you don't have any space, then you're just, you know, doing it to yourself. So it really is important to have some space. In whatever way, whether that's going for a drive or whatever floats your boat. But I think that's very important.
What are some fun? I mean, I am loving this whole eroticism situation because I think we all need it right now. Plus, you know, sex helps you relax. It helps you deal with anxiety. Like, it has a lot of benefits, right? And then we forget about all of those, you know, because we feel like it's not as important. I have always said, like, sex is super important in a marriage. But what are some tips that you can give our super mamas for this Valentine's as far as, like, what to do to, you know, revive that eroticism, at least for a day, guys? Come on, at least for a day. Let's try to do this at least for a day for ourselves. Because I still have it that says the more you do it, the more you do it. And we got to start somewhere, right? So how do we get that going again? How does one get that going again?
Well, I think probably where you want to start is to have a conversation with your partner to make sure they're on board, because I don't want your super mamas to go out there and, you know, go buy some expensive stuff and their partner is like, yeah, I'm not into it. So I think part of it is, you know, talking to your partner like, hey, Valentine's Day is coming up. Let's make it special. Like, do you want to do something? I actually have a reservation at a restaurant. I'm not sure if I'm going to go or not, because I'm not sure if I'm going to feel safe, but I picked a nice restaurant that I really love. And I told my husband, like, I would be very happy if you took me there on Valentine's Day. So he made a reservation. We'll see. I haven't been to a restaurant in a really long time, but that sounded very
appealing.
Well, it's novel. It's special.
Yeah.
Being waited on and all that kind of stuff. I can't have my husband listen to this before Valentine's Day because I know it's not going to come out yet. But I hired a masseuse to come to our house on Saturday. She's going to do it outside, and we have a heat lamp if it's cold. And she's going to give us each a massage. Because I thought that sounded kind of sensual and erotic and sexy.
We can give each other massages if we're not having masseuse.
I was gonna say, or you could give each other massages. You can take a bath. You can take, you know, you could cook a nice meal, either one for the other or together. I mean, I think it's really about, again, that intentionality of, this is something that we can do that's romantic. You can buy gifts. You can buy cards. I'm a big card fan. You know, anything that just feels a little different. There's been so much of the same. I think, you know, it may not be much. It may not take very much. But it's putting, you know, buy a box of candy, whatever, you know, makes you happy.
Camp outside, you know, let the kids inside the house and camp outside. That's an idea that I'm having, actually. Maybe we'll camp outside and just me and him, you know?
Yeah.
That's a good idea. Tamara, have you seen any positive stories coming out of quarantine? I'm sure you have. Can you share some for, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think that there is a lot of silver lining. I would say the most positive stuff is that families are spending time together where in the past they might not have. I've had very busy parents slow down because they had to and realize, like, wow, I was really busy and too busy and my kids weren't getting, you know, enough of me. And I've seen people become better parents, even through all the frustration and the homeschooling and all that. But I think families are, you know, eating more dinners together.
Definitely.
Yeah, you know, lots of, you know, I call the time that Zach came back from college, I call it my bonus time, because I, you know, he was never going to come and live back at home. So I got, you know, several months with him at home, which felt really good. So I've seen that. I've also seen, which is kind of an interesting thing, people who start dating during COVID. And it's like The Bachelor, you know, they're like in this bubble, right? Yeah. And so, like, it's this really fast, intense, you know, kind of otherworldly, you know, relationships that have really, you know, brought people to a much faster, you know, pace and getting, you know, through relationships. And so I've seen some of that. That's been really pretty. There's been some lovely love stories, you know, with that. And I think really, I think people have been able to, I mean, I think everyone's over it and we're all ready to move on. And, like, you know, but I think it gave us a reset.
Yeah.
You know, it gave us an opportunity to do some values clarification and really look at like what's important and what's not. You know, I worked for 20 years. I worked two nights a week. I don't work at night anymore.
Mm-hmm.
As people are more flexible, I'm working a lot, but I'm not working at night. And it's like, wow, I don't think I would have done that if it wasn't for the pandemic. And it's really nice being home.
Definitely. It is. It is. I feel that we have found a different type of connection with our significant others.
Mm-hmm.
And we have learned much more about ourselves. That's what I found in my relationship, that I have learned much about myself. And I'm able to communicate better because I know exactly what I want. And he's come to appreciate much more everything that I do. And, you know, he's helpful. And I think that's one of the other things that could be also like a nice thing to do for your, like that you can ask your significant other to do for yourself. It's that it doesn't really have to be just Valentine's, right? It can just be like, how do I show love to my significant other? And I think one of the things is ask for help and let them help you.
Mm-hmm.
Because I told my husband the other day, you know, I really need some time for myself. It's been just too much. You know, we got sick. Then, you know, I had to take care of my parents. Then, you know, then he went back to work and it was just too much. And I said, I need to breathe. I feel like I need to breathe. I need some time. And he was like, okay, I'll figure out a way to, you know, come home at least an hour early so you can have an hour for yourself. And I feel like that's a Valentine's every day for me. So I think also asking for help and telling your significant other what it is that you want from them. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I've learned is that we don't read minds. None of us read minds. And sometimes we're like, well, he should know by now. Or, you know, they think she should know by now, but we don't really know. We need to speak and say what we want.
Absolutely. I think that is one of the biggest traps that people get into in relationship is the mind reading trap.
Yeah.
And it, in my opinion, never works. I mean, it's like kind of a 100% guarantee that it's going to not work for you. And I do think you have to be very forthright about, I mean, even like with the story I gave with Valentine's Day, I said to my husband, I'd like to, this restaurant, I think it's going to be safe. This is where I want to go. He's like, done.
Yeah.
And I didn't make the reservation. He did, but you know, and people are like, well, that's not romantic. And I was like, I think it's romantic because I feel listened to and heard and seen and, you know, and it was lovely. So I agree with you. I think you're right on with that.
You know, when I was a while ago, I remember, one time I was having a conversation with my husband and I told him, you know, I don't read your mind. You need to tell me. And he said something super funny. He was like, well, you know, and people that play soccer, you know, he made reference to like, I don't know, the Barcelona team or something. He was like, they don't talk to each other. They already know exactly what they want. And I said, what? That makes absolutely no sense. That is such a male thing to think. I was
and it's
like,
not true.
I was like, no. First of all, I don't even know how to play soccer. I'm like, second of all, I'm like, I told them strategies. This is written in a paper. Like, this is not something that they just come up with, like, all of a sudden. They actually pre-plan all of this, and that's how they know what the other person needs. It's not, like, out of nowhere. So we have, you know, we've worked through a lot of that. Communication is so, so key in every aspect. And ever since then, and I knew that I had that communication issue, we seeked couples counseling through church, and we have improved so much because communication is better, and I tell him exactly what I want and he tells me what he wants, even though it hurts sometimes, even though it's like, you know, it has really improved our relationship communication. And also now he doesn't think that I have to read his mind. He tells me and I tell him, and I think, like, you know, I'm like, okay, now we're not playing random games with each other.
Right. And it's a setup. I mean, you know, and because sometimes your partner will get it and a lot of times they won't. And so you're always setting yourself, if they love me, they would know. And it's just not true. And we also have different days, and sometimes we're more, you know, in tune and in touch. And some days, you know, we didn't sleep well and we're cranky or whatever. So, you know, I think the being forthright is really very key to communication and relationship and connectivity.
And even in the bedroom, you know, you have to tell them what you like, and you have to figure out what you like first for you to know. It's the same thing, right? Like, you have to get to know yourself so that you know what you want. You have to get to know what you like so you can ask for what you like, and then you're both satisfied. Because I think that's also some of the things that I've noticed, that people are out of tune because they're like, well, he doesn't really know what I like. I'm like, well, have you told him what you like? You know, I don't know. How is he going to know? Maybe right. He thinks you like it, you know?
Yeah. And I've told you this before. My feeling is that those conversations are best done clothed and vertical as opposed to naked and horizontal, because then you're very vulnerable. So I like when people have the conversations when they're dressed. Awesome.
Well, thank you. We're going to take a break and come back with you, Samara. Thank you so much. We'll be right back. Hey, Super Mamas. Paulina and Brisa here. We just want to remind you to rate and subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, follow us on Spotify, SoundCloud, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Also, have you seen us rocking our Super Mama swag? Well, we want you to join in. Use promo code SMPODCAST at checkout on supermamas.com/swag for 15% off your next order. Again, that's code SMPODCAST on supermamas.com/swag for 15% off. Okay, now back to the show.
And we are back. I have one last question for you before we go on our Super Mama fire question.
Okay.
I know we focus on Valentine's, but how do we connect with our husbands before that? How do we start that connection with our husbands that you and I have been talking about? Because that takes time, right? But how do we start? How does a couple that is, you know, in the pandemic, frustrated with each other, like, I want to kill you, leave, no, come back, no, I'm happy, no, you know, what's the first step to get there?
I would say the very first step to get there is turn off your devices, turn off the television, turn off the phone, turn off the iPads, have a conversation, go for a walk, ask about their day, to tell you a story about something that happened. It's really connecting, you know, through, I think, verbally, also, you know, maybe holding hands. I think going for a walk, again, if you have kids, it's harder to do, but, you know, or sitting in the yard, I think it's really about turning off the electronics and just looking at each other in the face and starting a conversation.
So easy and so true.
Sometimes not so easy.
Sometimes not so easy because I honestly, it's like there's so many distractions happening at the same time. You know, the TV, the phone, the days of that.
Yeah.
Anyway, are you ready for our fire question, Samara? I don't think we haven't done this with you before.
No, I'm a little nervous.
Don't be. Okay. Not at all. Okay. Ariel or Jasmine?
Ariel.
Ooh, why?
I just feel more connected to her.
Oh, I think, like, you know, you guys have that similar look, the hair, the everything. I think that's why. Are you more of a texting or a phone call kind of gal?
Phone call. Always.
Ooh.
Texting, nice. I believe texting should only be used to do very minimal communication. I know most people use it for lots of stuff. There's no tone, there's no texture.
Right, yes.
In trouble, pick up the phone.
Right, because sometimes you're like, but you texted me, but I didn't mean it like that. You don't know if it's like, and if it's capital letters, if it has like, you know, exclamation point, you know, yeah, you're right. Are you more of a winter or summer person?
Winter.
Interesting. California, huh? Mm. What has been your favorite quarantine activity, non-work related?
Well, daily, I would say exercise. Mm. And I think taking my son up to grad school and helping him move in.
Oh, was that super hard? Oh, my God.
That was wonderful.
Oh my God. Now you're down to only one child at home.
She's going to college in the fall.
Oh, God. So that hurts. That hurts. Do you have any favorite books right now?
Yeah, I'm reading like crazy.
Tell us, please tell us.
I'm reading a lot of stuff. I just read one called Girl, Woman, Other.
Ooh.
That I think won some prizes. It was incredible. I loved that book. And then I read another one called, I read another one called The Vanishing Half, which by Britt Bennett. And that won an award too. I mean, they're just both of those. Both of them are Girl, Woman, Other. One, I think the Booker, it's about Black women in Great Britain, and The Vanishing Half is about African-American women.
Oh, that's amazing. Definitely going to get those books.
Yeah.
Different kind of books. Awesome. Are you more of an early riser or night owl?
Night owl.
Really? Oh, who do you like more, Beyonce or Selena? You're like, no.
Well, Zach Fabric, my son, is a Selena devotee. But I like Beyonce better.
Ooh, I know.
You get mad at me.
We love Beyonce. You know we love Beyonce. What about Beyonce or J-Lo?
Oh.
That one's hard, see?
I would say Beyonce.
Yeah. I mean, you know, J-Lo's look, they both keep looking fabulous by the time.
I was going to say two of the best tushy in town. Woo! Kira in there with that tushy. I mean, that's all.
Mara, we need to keep doing squats, girl. I'm on the squat game.
I've given up.
Oh, God. Coffee or tequila?
Oh, both.
Coffee and tequila in your coffee.
No. Coffee in the morning, tequila at night.
Ooh, I like that. I'm telling you. I said this before we started. But you're really good friends with my therapist. And I was telling her earlier today, I would love to kick it with you too. I would love it. At some point, I'm going to be your friends. And you guys are going to invite me over. And we're going to have tequila at night one time. That's going to be so fun.
I found great tequila during quarantine. I've been drinking a tequila called Fortaleza.
I love the margaritas with Fortaleza. I have to send you a recipe. It's so, so good. I love it. I love Fortaleza. Yeah. Oh, that's a good one. What's your favorite cocktail?
Margarita,
yeah. What are you absolutely loving right now? Absolutely. It can be an app, makeup, lotion, a person, a saying, whatever. What are you absolutely loving?
Oh, God, that's such a hard question. I am absolutely loving Below Deck.
Ooh. What is that?
You know what that is? It is a Genki reality show that is just, I'm ashamed. Look, I'm blushing, but I have to say it just takes me away. They're on these super yachts and they're gorgeous and it's all about the crew and they're just all.
Is it kind of like, well, because I am so into Bridgerton right now. Bridgerton.
I love
that. You know, let me tell you something. That brought the sexy back for sure. 100%. Guys, that's a tip. Bridgerton brings sexy back. My husband's like, what's up with you? I'm like, hey, Bridgerton, man. Bridgerton.
I watched it all in one day.
Oh my God. I just got goosebumps. Anyway. Oh God, that's so funny. And then tell me, what is the first thing you're going to do once quarantine is over? But really, really over. Like once no one's wearing masks, once we're all back and running wild and free, what is the first thing you want to do?
Travel. I miss traveling. I really miss traveling. I hope it's taking my son to college, wherever that might be, that I would love to move him into his dorm and, you know, but travel. That's what, and concerts. I miss concerts too.
Oh, I miss concerts too. I know. I miss life. Anyway, thank you so much for being here, Samara. It's such a pleasure always talking to you. Hopefully we can have you back soon. I would love to talk about, there's so many things to talk about. I would love to talk about self-love. Self-sexual love. you know, but this is Valentine's. Let's talk about couples, but I would love to, you know, to talk about, like, you know, sexual health and all of that. So we would love to have you back soon.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you.
Please tell our listeners where they can find you, where they can, you know, request your services, everything about you.
Well, I am not a social media person because that's just not my thing. So I do have a website. It's samarafabric.com. If you just type in Samara Fabric on Google, I'm the only one. And that's the best way to reach me.
Please, guys, reach out to her. She's fabulous. And you will see why I want to kick it with her. I want to kick it with you both and have tequila and have fortaleza, you know, and talk about, like, getting sexy back, because that's what, you know, that's what we all need right now.
Yeah. Everyone have a nice Valentine's Day and really put a little effort into it. It goes a long way.
For sure. For sure. We need to. Thank you so much, Samara. And we will see you next time.
All right. Take care.
Bye. And we're back.
We are back, Paulina.
I'm excited about Valentine's. I don't know, something to look forward
to. Me too. Yeah, I love Valentine's Day.
Me too. I love Valentine's. We'll see. We'll see what comes up. We'll see what we do. I'm really going to apply a lot of the things that Samara said. But anyway, now we are on our favorite segment, the pick or tip of the week. Do you have something this week?
I do. I am going to recommend two great, what would I call these? Two great places or people where you can get baked goods for this Valentine's Day.
Yes.
Valentine's Day weekend. There is this incredible woman who makes the most delicious pies. I have uploaded it on my Instagram stories a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
Made to order baked goods. I would say savory, sweets, anything you want. Her Instagram handle is at aloaf.of love. We will put her on our Instagram page and tag her. Sephora Majma, it's her name. She begun baking and offering these baked goods. When the pandemic hit, she was let go of the restaurant where she worked and started this little side hustle. But she has these super cute, like Valentine pie pockets, mm-hmm. I would say. Mm-hmm. She brought some this weekend because it was Super Bowl weekend, and she brought me made like shaped of footballs. And let me tell you, she got me mixed berries and also apple. Oh my god, they were just so, like, I think I could have eaten like 10. They're, I don't know,
thumbs up.
My son ate like most of them.
My favorite is her cheesecake.
She gave me cheesecake too. That cheesecake is so good.
My god.
But she's also making heart-shaped cheesecakes, mm-hmm. and she's making these heart-shaped like pocket pies. I think like that would be a super cute thing for you to order for Valentine's, mm-hmm. or send it to someone that you love. And the other one that my girlfriend, I have a girlfriend who is like the sweetest, like she's the sweetest, I don't know how to say, thoughtful. Mm-hmm. Like she always sends my kids like Christmas cards and Thanksgiving cards. And she came by in Halloween cards. So she came by this weekend and dropped off my Valentine's for both Agustina and Eduardo.
Aww.
And she brought these macaroons. Let me tell you.
I ate them all.
These macaroons, like, are probably the best macaroons I've ever had.
Yeah.
Really? Like, I don't think I've, I mean, I don't really, I'm not really a macaroon person. Maybe I haven't had a really good one.
I'm definitely ordering like a few boxes for Valentine's Day.
My favorite is the white people.
So I'm going to tell you her Instagram handle is Sweet Carolina Macaroons. Mm. Like Sweet Carolina is the name of her company. You can DM her to make an order. But, like, the flavors white chocolate, raspberry, dulce de leche, dark chocolate, and Nutella. But I'm telling you, like, I think I just saw right here on her Instagram that you have to order your box by Wednesday the 10th. So I'm definitely ordering boxes to deliver to friends. But, dude, like, if you're listening to this on Tuesday, the day this episode comes out, Valentine's Day, please order. These macaroons are so bomb. Tell them that I recommend it you. I wish I had a discount code for you. I don't. I just love both of these women. Whether it's baked good or macaroons, that's my pick for sure. They're so good. My son finished an entire box in one sitting. Like, you have no idea how good these macaroons are.
Ooh.
And they're like organic, made of almond flour, like just like so good.
I have tried the pies from Sephora and they're so good. So I also had her key lime pie. Delicious.
Oh, I can imagine.
Delicioso. I'm going to give two tips that have helped me that will help improve or contribute to your relationship. I believe one of those we have already shared before. I think you gifted my husband this book, The Five Love Languages.
Oh, yes.
From Gary
Chapman. I gave
one
to you and to your husband.
Yeah. Well, you gave us one. You gave us. And it's such a good book. It's so amazing. I think communication is so important. And in order for you to communicate better with your significant other, you have to know what they want and what they like. Mm-hmm. And this book really, really helps you. And also it has a test at the end. So you kind of know what you want. What is your love language? And so I think it's very important because sometimes we speak in different languages and we're like, well, he should like this because I did this. And so this book I highly, highly recommend. And the other one, it's going to be from one of also a product from one of our former guests from the Bloomy. Bloomy Arousal Oil, which is amazing, is their bestseller. And you can actually, there's a bundle that they have where you get the arousal oil and a massage oil. Get it, girls. Get it. It will help you. It will really help you create that Titanic moment that we're all aiming for at some point. Mira, nada más porque es atay tu hijo. I mean, no, we don't go into detail, but
I'm looking more like, I want like Bridgerton vibes on Valentine's.
Ooh, yeah. I mean, everything is Bridgerton right now. Yes.
I'm going more towards like Bridgerton vibes. But I get the Titanic moment because of the car, so I get it. But I'm going more like,
oh yeah, for know. Sure, for sure, for sure. I'm gonna duke it up this weekend.
Yep.
I already have a secret.
Oh, sorry, little ears, tiny little ears over there. Anyway, let's just leave it at that. Let's leave this part. PG.
We shall say goodbye.
We shall say goodbye and have a fantastic Valentine's, and we cannot hear all about it. All right, Risi, I hope you don't cry tomorrow. Breathe, sister, breathe.
Hey, sisters, thank you so much for listening. Hope all of you guys are subscribed to our newsletter. If you're not, make sure you hit that subscribe button on supermamas.com. We will be sending out invites to upcoming events, promos, and super cool surprises your way. And of course, you can always keep up with us through the gram @_supermamas and on Twitter, also @_supermamas, and in the face @supermamaspodcast.
Oh, one more thing. We want to hear your supermama moment of the week to share with all of you sisters. Call into our hotline 424-329-3707 and leave us a message, or simply email us a voice note to hello@supermamas.com. Very soon, we could be featuring you on the show. Please remember to leave your name and Instagram handle for a chance to be featured.
Much love, and
see you next week, Supermamas!